Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by Hacia, whose Executive Fellows Program provides Black and Latinx business owners with real-world tools and strategies needed to master fundamental management concepts related to company stability and growth. Registrants learn through one-on-one executive coaching sessions with subject matter experts in the areas of finance, business development, operations, and legal. More info at haciaworks.org.
From WBEZ Chicago, I'm Greta Johnson, and this is the Nerdette Book Club. It's just like a regular book club, except maybe people don't know if you're reading a super sexy romance novel. This month's selection is Sarah McLean's truly delightful Bombshell. This is a book that has several sorts of explosive situations. It's about Cecily Talbot, whose squad of badass ladies is working to take down the patriarchy in 1830s London. There is also a broad-shouldered gent with a sketchy past named Caleb. That is all I'm going to say for now, because here is your spoiler warning. If you haven't read the book and you don't want spoilers, go listen to the interview we did with Sarah McLean. It is in the feed. She is a delight. If you have read the book or you are cool with spoilers, welcome. I am super excited to introduce you to this month's panel. We have Jessica Pride, who hosts the excellent Book Riot podcast, When in Romance. Jessica, hey.
Hello.
We also have Tia Williams. She's the author of several romance novels, including most recently 7 Days in June. Tia, hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay, so we will also be hearing from some of you. Let's actually start this off with a voicemail from listener Kate.
I had no idea I needed this in my life as a self-proclaimed feminist. I tend to shy away from these types of books, but this one felt a little less damsel in distress than I was expecting. I secretly loved it and plan on devouring more of this genre as these nights get longer and the pandemic seems to drag on. I felt like it just filled a little hole and needing some lightness in my life. So I wanted to thank you for recommending and look forward to the discussion.
I just love that, because I think it probably embraces what a lot of like maybe more hesitant listeners might say about like, but do I really need like the damsel in distress thing? That is what romance seemed like it was for a very long time. But that is not what this book is. Now, Jessica, you are like a legit romance nerd. How often do you read historical romance versus more like modern day rom-com type stuff?
You know, I cut my teeth on historical romance as like a very curious 11-year-old. And I realized I hadn't been reading as much of it, especially since the pandemic started. And I'm not sure why, because for a long time, it wasn't half and half, but it was maybe like a third of my romance reading was historical romance. So this is the first one that I had read in a few months, which is a long time for me.
What do you think, Tia? Like, how often do you do historical romance?
So it sounds like my background, in Jessica's, is very similar. So I grew up like a super inappropriately aged fan of romance novels, specifically like Bodice Rippers, you know, Judith McNaught, yes. Kathleen Woodowis, Jude Devereaux, like all those old school, like 80s romance novels. And obviously I write romance. I barely read it these days because I can't read it while I'm writing. A lot of writers have this too. Like it's hard to read in your genre because you inadvertently like absorb the style of someone else. And then it starts coming out in your writing, and that's, you know, a problem. Like you start to lose your voice a little bit. So Bombshell is the first like true historical romance I've read in 3 years.
Oh, what a treat. Did you love it?
Oh my God. It has set my soul on fire and my loins aflame. I cannot get enough. No, it was so good. It was everything.
I just like the word I kept using when I interviewed Sarah was romp. Like it's just such a good time, you know?
Oh, such a romp.
So Tia, like, I don't know, you mentioned reading these books from the 80s. Were they, were less feminist, right?
Oh my God. I mean, it was my sisters and I, like all three of us really sort of were raised on these books. Like my mom was a massive, massive fan, and she would leave, you know, the paperbacks like by the tub in her bathroom, and they were like swollen beyond recognition from like the steam from the shower.
That's an innuendo right there.
I know. And we were talking about this recently. We were like, all of those books would be so canceled today. I mean, you know, it's not even like, not so feminist. It's like downright, you know, a lot of it was pretty anti everything we believe in now, like absolutely scenes of zero consent given, but the woman loving it, you know, the whole thing of, you know, her fists are pounding his chest. No, 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 we can't do this. And he takes her by force, but it's fabulous.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And I don't know, I think there are some layers to this that, like, I think Sarah even kind of addresses in Bombshell. I'm thinking about one scene in particular that actually Kat mentioned in the voicemail she left. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Nerdette. This is Kat from Sammamish, Washington. I'm calling about this month's book club pick, Bombshell by Sarah McLean. I really enjoyed this. This is actually the second time I'd read it. Loved it just as much this go around. The romance is great, steamy, it's fun, there's good banter, but really this second go around, I got to lean into that killer feminist vibe that it has, and I just loved some of the quotes in here, in particular, when they're fighting in the pub, Cecily says, men are ridiculous, and Caleb says, for wanting to keep you safe, and she responds, no, for believing that you are the thing from which we are most in danger. And that just kind of stopped me in my tracks. And it's so true.
That's a line that really stuck with me, too. I thought that was just like very well put and interesting to see in this scenario of like early 1800s. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think you had to have sort of like a suspension of disbelief for, because like this book is feminist as fuck, which like, you know, I'm thinking especially about like the coven of vigilantes, like. Did you feel like you kind of had to like take it all with a grain of salt given the time period, or were you just like totally happy to go there? What do you think, Tia?
I was happy to go there, but also understood that this was not really happening then. Or maybe it was, but the history books definitely don't show it. And we do know that history books are flawed.
Right, right.
You know, the idea that a lesbian couple was just hanging out at this bar. Mm-hmm. And that a Black woman, you know, Indian women and all of these female business owners, I know there were some, but it's just, look, as a Black woman, you know, consuming media, like it is second nature to, you know, in order to enjoy a lot of things, you have to take reality out of it, you know, just because like, in terms of diversity and inclusion, there's so much that doesn't include me, or there's so much that includes me in the wrong way, that in order to enjoy things, like I have no problem like suspending my disbelief. It's almost like second nature. So I took it almost like, you know, an alternate universe where this was happening and this was real, in the same way that it's like, look at the time period, okay? Nobody showered. Everyone's hair was greasy. Literally everyone smelled like England in the early 1800s. Oh my God. Like, you know, no germ and right, disease right, science. The germ like nobody washed their hands. Think about, yeah. You're dying slowly at, like since the age of 4. Like it's just one day closer to death at 32. So honestly, like if you're reading historical romance, you already have to, you know, suspend your disbelief that any of this is like hot. So, yeah, but I'm all for it. Like, bring it on. It was a delight to read about these badass feminists and, you know, a totally evolved man in the middle of all of it. Totally evolved straight man. Like, I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like totally evolved. Did you think he was totally evolved, Jessica? I guess he was pretty fucking evolved, considering.
Pretty evolved.
Yeah, he was pretty evolved, especially, you know, like he has this whole thing about, you know, I have to protect you. I can't be with you, et cetera, et cetera. But he's willing to like let her take the reins when it's obviously she's better at some things. He's still going to have like that, like, oh, I've got to protect you. I've got to punch people. I've got to make sure that you don't get shot. And why are you throwing bodies in the river? Like, I totally get that. But, you know, that's sort of a logical conclusion to arrive at if you're bigger than somebody and have more street sense than somebody. Well, maybe not. I think Cecily had more street sense than he did. But
but those shoulders, you know,
more shoulders.
How could he not help?
You're totally right, though. Like, I don't think that's really a sign of like not, you know, being toxic. It's just he's bigger and he cares. Just like you're saying.
He's bigger and he cares. I love it. Just what any girl would want. I mean, come on.
Right.
So as I mentioned, I got to interview Sarah a couple weeks ago, and I asked her what inspired her to write a novel that's set in this 19th century with feminism at its center. And I just loved what she said. Here it is.
I mean, the last 5 years of the world, I think, is the answer. I wish I had a better answer. I wish I had a pithier answer, but that's the truth. And I was reading a lot of nonfiction. I read, you know, Rebecca Traister's Good and Mad after the election. I read Sadie Doyle's Trainwreck. Mona Altahawy's Seven Necessary Sins of Women and Girls is like my Bible these days. And for me, I mean, like I said at the start, I don't write books about the 1840s. I write books about 2021. And so it felt really important to me that I set down a group of women who feel like the world is not treating them right, is not doing them the service that they deserve. And so they take matters into their own hands because they can. There are, of course, choices that had to be made in the structure of the book. These are women who have a lot of money and power. And that's essential, you know, to building a superhero. But essentially, I was like, what if I write Victorian superheroes? What do they look like?
Ugh, I just love it so much.
Chills.
Right? All right. In just a minute, we are going to talk about the sex scenes.
Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, so I feel like we can't not talk about the sex scenes in this book, especially given the fact that y'all have been reading sex scenes since you were like 11.
Right.
What do you think? I mean, there's definitely a slow burn in this one. Like, they only actually had sex once, right?
Well, like,
I mean, I guess like technically, yes. Yeah.
This was so hot. And I don't mind a slow burn. Like, as long as there's
sure.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
As a reader, I just love that, like, being toyed with in that way. Like, is this ever going to happen? And I mean, her mastery of the sex scenes, and also just, you could tell she was really having fun with, you know, the, not the gender roles, but like, you know, who's running things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is very turning traditional historical romance on its head, which I loved. Like, as I was reading it, I have a 13-year-old daughter, and she looked at the cover and she was like, are people still making books like that?
Right.
And I was like, oh, no, you don't get it. Like, this is not quote unquote like that. Like, this is definitely what Sarah's saying. It's like, you know, through a 2021 lens, that really, really appeals. I loved it. Mm-hmm.
It's one thing, like, so I'm always looking at this sort of thing where people are talking about sexy romance versus erotic romance, because there's all of this talk about like what makes each each of those different. And I love how Sarah McLean in general, but especially in this book, really like toes the line between those. Because so like sexy romance, it's like if you take out all of the sex scenes, the story still makes sense.
There's still a book.
And erotic right. romance is like all of the sex has something to do with the plot, right? Mm-hmm. And this one, it's like, yeah, if you take out the sex scenes, the story makes sense, but there's so much in them with their interactions and like character elements and just sort mm-hmm. of like learning about the people while also just, you know, great sex scenes. Like they're like well done and really interesting, and you don't want to like skim or skip through them. Because sometimes I'm like, I just want them to start talking again. Like, when are they gonna like?
Let's wrap this up and move on.
Yeah, right. but like they were just done so well. Even the kissing scenes are just like,
oh my god, yeah, for real, for real,
yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we knew this book would end in a happily ever after, right? Like, those are the rules.
Those are the rules, yes.
But I don't know. I mean, we've talked about some other ways, too, I think. But, like, how else do you think Bombshell kind of broke some of the standard tropes in the genre?
Well, like, the one that stood out most was her saying, I don't want kids, like, forever. I don't plan on having children. Are you cool with that? And him being like, okay, our marriage is going to be different from all of your sisters because it's you. Like, I wouldn't expect you to suddenly change your mind. Also, that was one thing that was in one of those sex scenes where it was basically like the Victorian version of it's okay, I'm on the pill.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yes. I love that.
She was like, I have ways to take care of that. Don't worry about it.
It's all good.
Yeah, that was really good. That was smart.
Oh, it was amazing. What do you think, Tia?
Yeah, there was a lot. I totally agree with Jessica. Also, the fact that she was 30 and not a spinster, and mm-hmm. also 30 and single, and that's
and having
not
a great
story.
Time being
yeah,
single.
Yeah. Yeah. Having a great time. And also that. What I mean when I say she's 30 and not a spinster is that she's 30 and no one's really looking at her like that. Like, she's still the hottest mm-hmm. chick in town. She's still, you know, super sexy and like, you know, has men staring her down everywhere and is super desirable. Like, it isn't part of the thing. Mm-hmm. I love that she was like grown, you know, the way her body is described, like, you know, her wide hips and ample
yes, her
curves
hips.
Like the, yep. she, Sarah kept talking about her hips, which I love. You know, she just seemed like a capital W woman. Yeah. And you know, again, traditional historical romance, like the woman is usually a virgin,
right? And she's dainty,
and she's dainty, and she has pink nipples, and like she's very, you know, blonde or you know, tiny or yeah. lost or you know,
yeah, just, like bird boned,
yeah, like a little Bambi child,
yeah,
woman.
Totally.
And this one wasn't, and she got in a bar fight.
Yeah, yeah, she did. Oh, God, she's so badass. I can't wait to read this book again, honestly. Let's listen to another voicemail. Here is Clark.
I am a major Sarah McLean fan. I have read so many of her books. I loved that Cecily was finally getting her story. I've been waiting for it for years. And as much as I love her and as much as I love the story, I was surprised to see so much modernity in it. I guess like going into Victorian era, that is, there is that like transition period between Regency and Victorian I wasn't quite ready for. I'm curious to see where Sarah McLean takes this now that she's kind of dipping into another era and including women of color. Are we also going to get stories of color? As a writer of color, a Black woman, like I would love to see a subplot with a diverse woman as the lead of that.
So has either of you read other Sarah McLean stuff?
Yes.
So Jessica, did you know that Cecily came up in another one?
Yes. She's on the edges of a few of the books with most of her sisters. And I want to say that's
I didn't realize they had
two series previous or somewhere around there. So like the story of the soiled S's came up a lot in that series. And Cecily was always kind of hanging out. We do get to see her flirting with Caleb at some point, but
oh my gosh.
Oh God. What
I worried that that story would just never happen. And I'm sure some other readers did, like Clark did.
Oh my gosh. I love that so much. All right. We've got one more voicemail. Let's take a listen. Here is Liz.
Hey, this is Liz from Minnesota, and I am calling about Bombshell, and I'm so excited that it was the pick. first, when I described it to my husband, as I typically do with my books when I finish them, he said I was just reading a vigilante book, which is true, but also it was so much more, so good. And also, I'm keeping this one. I'm not typically a saver of the books that I buy. I usually just keep passing them along to friends. This one I am keeping, and I'm rereading it when Hell's Bells book 2 comes out, which I cannot wait for. So thanks for picking it. I cannot wait for this discussion. Can't even describe my excitement.
I love Liz so much. So yeah, Jessica, since you're a person who's read the other ones, like, do you have a prediction of who you think book 2 will be about?
I am going to go with either Imogen or Adelaide.
Yeah.
Imogen, they kind of set her up for that, but sometimes Sarah likes to pull red herrings.
Because yeah, that was definitely my prediction, was like her and the detective inspector like flirtatiously blowing things up sort of together. Yeah. At the end was like, oh yeah, I could see that happening, like there's a spark, you know.
Yeah, I need a protagonist that loves bombs, like that's important.
Yes, that sounds extremely satisfying. So I was talking to a friend about this book last week, and you know, I was just saying how much fun it was, and he was like, is there such a thing as a romance, as like a romance novel for heterosexual men? And I was sort of like, well, yeah, like literally any romance novel. But I don't know. I was curious, since both of you like spend so much time in this world, if they're, I don't know, what do you think? Like, should more dudes just be reading romance novels? Or is that not the point, you know?
Yes, they should.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the short answer is yes.
Yes, they definitely should. But I honestly think it's not for them, it's for us.
Right.
You know, and if they happen to enjoy it, that's great. But I feel like it's women writing for women, and why not? It's a gift to us.
Yeah.
I think that men, it would be in their best interest to read them so they know what the hell we want. yeah, I'm always delightfully surprised when I find out that a straight man has enjoyed my books. And the funny thing is that they always say that they like them because, oh my God, I'm just like the male protagonist. It's like, dude.
Okay.
Let's ask a girl.
That's so funny. What do you think, Jessica?
I think that, you know, it would do so much for the emotional intelligence of the greater population of cishet men to read romance, because there is so much about just like feelings, and so many of the male protagonists in cishet romance are emotionally intelligent people that should be inspiring to the greater population of the
Right. Who are also great lays. Yeah.
Right. That too. With broad shoulders.
Yeah. Like, what's not to love? So for every book, we ask our panelists to rate the book based on something completely arbitrary. This time I was thinking it would be fun to do leather knife pockets, because that was like such a fun like twist on, you know, those dresses, but still being a badass. So just from 1 to 10, hidden leather knife pockets, Jessica, how many would you give this book?
I think this is definitely a 9.5 hidden leather knife pockets.
It's a lot of knives.
Yeah, I would give it a 9, strong 9.
Yeah. I think I would also give it, I think the one thing that kind of like the Caleb past reveal like didn't really blow my mind, mm-hmm. but I also wasn't mad about it. But I mean, this book was just a great time. Like, it was just such a wonderful place to spend time in, you know?
Absolutely. It reminded me of like old school, you know, like Romancing the Stone, Jewel of the Nile, like a real like almost swashbuckling adventure.
Yes, which was, I was not expecting that at all. And it was such a pleasure, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
So before I let y'all go, I'm curious, for someone who read Bombshell and who was like, oh, this is really, you know, especially like our listener at the beginning who's like, oh my gosh, these are actually really fun. Mm-hmm. What might you recommend that they read next? Tia, what do you think?
Well, given that this is my first historical romance in like 3 years, I'm going to go retro with it. Okay. And recommend Knight in Shining Armor by Jude Devereaux, which is one of the, you know, pillars of, is it 90s or 80s historical romance? And it's just so much fun. There's a little bit of a time travel element. And so it has that sort of fun adventure vibe that this one has. It's fantastic.
That sounds great. What do you think, Jessica?
Well, first, that was my second romance ever.
Ah! Knight in Shining Armor?
Yes.
Oh, God, you get it.
I get it. I so get it. Oh, I love it. Oh, so good. And so, like, my first instinct was to go with, like, An Extraordinary Union and, like, the Loyal League books by Alyssa Cole. But those are, like, they're not quite as fun. So what I'm actually going to recommend is The Duke Who Didn't by Courtney Milan. And while the shenanigans aren't quite as exciting, they're still like, you've got like a crafty heroine who's looking to seek a little bit of vengeance on somebody, and a hero who's come back after a couple years ready to grovel. And it's like sort of based on Persuasion, but it's a bit of a quieter book. When Trisha, my co-host on When in Romance, was like, I realized that I couldn't really hold on to this book because it's more character than plot driven. So if you know that you're a plot driven person, this book might be a little slower for you, but it's so much fun and it's very delightful. I've referenced it as a mug in a book or a cup of tea.
For a second, I thought you said monk, and I was like, wait, what? Oh my gosh, those are both great recommendations. I think I'm going to chime in with The Wisteria Society of Lady Scoundrels by India Holton, which doesn't have nearly as much sex, but is a good time. Like, it's like lady pirates are just like always really fun. And so to spend some time just sort of reveling in that, I think it's also just like a great way to spend some time, you know? Well, Tia, Jessica, thank you both so much for talking about Bombshell with me. This was very fun.
Thank you. I had a blast.
Thanks so much.
All right, that's it for Book Club this month. Thanks for reading and listening along with us. An extra bonus thanks, of course, to Clark and Kat and Kate and Liz for sending us all those great voicemails. Our December book club selection is Andrea Gibson's poetry collection, You Better Be Lightning. Tune in for an interview with Andrea next week, and then come back on the last Tuesday of the month to hear the discussion. The show is produced by me and Anna Bauman. Our executive producer is Brendan Banasak. Okay, talk soon. Bye.
Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.